Cult Shoes.
Recorded live.
Welcome, welcome, welcome to another night of the Married Men Don't Talk Talk Show. Man, I just want to say we've been busy. We have been busy, busy, busy these last few days. We've been getting invites. We've been doing radio shows. We've been doing whatever, whatever we need to do. And we got another one coming up too, don't we, Rodney?
Yeah, next Tuesday.
Next Tuesday. What is that? What's the topic of that one?
If he disrespects your mother, is he a keeper?
Wow. That's kind of deep. That one right there is kind of deep. But it is what it is, you know. I just want to put a special shout out to everybody that calls in. You know, we trying to get something. We trying to do some public service announcements. We trying to do some good with this thing. And everybody that calls in has been extremely supportive and extremely helpful. You know what I mean? So, you know, I'm just going to put it out there. Wherever household stress goes, and we don't know where it's going, but we taking y'all with us. You know what I mean? We taking y'all right along with us, everybody, man, because I think that this thing may be something where we're going to need the help. You know, I think we're going to have situations where people actually are going to be looking to this venue for help, and we're going to need each and every one of y'all to be with us. You know what I mean? But anyway, enough said with that. Tonight's topic is transformation. It's not Bible study. We're going to try not to cuss. We're going to try not to cuss. Now I want to start off with myself. And I need y'all brothers' help with this one. Not saying that I'm dealing with this, but it might be in the neighborhood. Not too long ago, I was a guy that, you know what I mean, used to have a lot of, you know, options. Let's just say it that way. And I think at some point in your life, options are good. You know, if you're a single man, options are great. If one don't act right, then you got another one that's going to act right. And then it's to the situation where, you know, you just got to figure out who's going to act right or who's available. And y'all know what I'm talking about. You know, and when you have options, I think that you have drama, but you have a little less drama in your life because, again, if one doesn't act right, you got different options. But here's a difficult situation right here. When you have to depend everything on one person and you no longer have any options, whatever that person's mood swing is, you got to roll with it. Whatever that person feels like doing or doesn't feel like doing, you got to roll with it. You know what I'm saying? And you have to sit there as a man, especially a married man, and you got to suck it up. You got to suck it up. I mean, that's the hand that you've been dealt. You wear it with a smile, and you keep moving. The first question that I want to throw out tonight, because I don't have that many, is how can we transform? How can we transform ourselves? And think about this, fellas. I mean, honestly. How can we realistically transform ourselves to a one-woman man?
One-woman
man.
I think the first thing is that you have the lessons by having all the options on what you're looking for in a woman. You kind of hone your expectations for that single woman by, you know, the research that you're doing on the options. If you're doing research, some people are just enjoying themselves, you know. And once you have that, then you know there are some things that are realistic. Your goals, you know, are realistic, and some things are unrealistic. Like you won't have 100% of everything that you're looking for in that person. So, long story short, experience. You know what a, you know what I'm saying? You know a good, you should know a good woman who is worth the time to for you to be that, to make her that one woman that you want to, you know, devote the rest of your life to. And it also would invoke a change in, that woman would invoke that change in you.
But you, the main one, talk about women lie. So
So we already know when we get with them, we got an agenda and a mindset that we are in a mode that we know we got to switch to. With them, but when it switches, and then we got to switch again and adjust around them lying occasionally, and then because we look at them, we don't look at them the same when but pre-wife and post-wife. We don't look at them the same.
Right.
I know I don't look at. I didn't look at my wife the same after I heard the first lie. I was like, wait, I'm married, and then we bunch it all together. I'm married to a liar now, you know.
So,
yeah. Well, either. I mean, even though she called it white or black or whatever color she want to call it,
yes,
you know, lie, you know. And then now I got a real job. Like, well, what? Let me look at my pocketbook and hold my cards to my chest a little bit closer, you know, because now and then and so our mindset has to actually change to from a single minded man to a married-minded man, standing by to make any adjustments that comes along.
But the women, a woman, and yes, all women do lie, but a woman could invoke that change.
Hmm?
You see what I'm saying? You could meet a woman that would, you know what I'm saying, inspire you to change.
No.
You don't think so? You disagree?
Nah, you can't. A woman can't make you change. That has to be something that comes on your own.
It didn't make you change. I said inspire you to change.
She can inspire. Inspire is a better word. That's a totally different.
There's a big difference. No, because can't no woman make a man do anything.
That's right.
No.
You know, for all the women that's gonna listen later on tonight, you're lying to yourself. You can't do anything.
But you're right, Ike. I mean, I think that, you know, you meet the right one, you know, she'll inspire you to do better.
Yeah.
Make a positive transformation.
Mm-hmm.
So,
mm-hmm.
I, when I was on the television show last week, I slipped out of my mouth that I don't look at my wife as a nag, but I look at her as an inspirational speaker, you know, because when she speaks, for the most part, if it inspires me to move to motivate the family and raise us as a whole to a higher level, then she just her thoughts inspired me to do whatever she considered whatever she said for me to do at that moment, you know, and it actually elevated the family after I did what she asked me to do.
Hmm. Okay. Anybody on that?
The brother said the word lie. Right?
And, mm-hmm,
you know,
yeah.
And we hate to think of them as liars. I mean, you know, and he said it. And again, because that's the woman you married. You hate to think,
yeah,
man, I married somebody that just bamboozled me. You know, but at the end of the day, do you feel bamboozled? At some point, when you say it ain't what I thought it was, you see, we got to make this transformation into this married guy, right? And for some of us, it's hard, man. For some of us, it's just hard. Some people are still dealing with it, and I think that has a lot to do with why marriages don't work. It's because we don't want to make the change because there's something that we've given up, right?
Mm.
And I think that's options.
But then sometimes it's more you are forced, somebody's forcing you or putting pressure on you to change. And that makes it even more difficult.
Yeah, I hear you. I hear you, but can't nobody really force you to do nothing.
That's true.
Yeah, nobody can force you to do nothing. But women, wives have a way of nagging you to drive you crazy. You got to make two choices. Either you're going to have to make an adjustment or you're going to have to sit there and argue every single day.
Okay. So, and again,
just be honest.
You know, I just don't know how many people on this phone have really sat down and think about the person that they were versus the person that they have to be in their marriage and whether they're even happy with that person. You know what I mean? We always talk a lot about why married men don't talk. So if a married man doesn't talk, there's got to be something going on, some unhappiness, some unfulfillment going on, some how did I get here and why am I in this situation?
I mean, there are some trade-offs. Don't get me wrong. There are some inevitable trade-offs. But each individual is different. Some people can live with the, you know, missing the whole options and the excitement of the options. And some people, you know, they kind of want to have both. They want to have the best of both worlds. They want to have a good woman and they want to have options also. I mean, and some, you know, they feel trapped, like what you're leading up to, T-Hawk. I mean, you know, they're just slowly suffering inside because they've had to change so much and they can't live with the way they've had to change, you know. Thought they could live with it, but they can't.
Gotcha. And that's the element that I'm talking about right now. So then we're talking about a transformation, right? Because so now you transform from this guy that's a single dude with options to this married guy with one option. Okay? Now the one option is okay for a while, but it's not fulfilling what you thought was going to be fulfilled when you made the initial transformation. So now you have to transform yourself to this guy that'll settle for less and be all right with it.
So you said he's settling for less.
No, I don't think so. I think it's not a settlement, because if you evaluate, and I take every man on this call and every person listening to this call, if they actually evaluated their wives before they got married to them, I guarantee you all of us have the same opinion about them after we got married to them. I guarantee you all of our opinions are the same. That lets you know if all of our opinions are the same about our wives, that means women are all the same because of their makeup and their DNA. Now, and some might be in a corporate world where they're more bossy than others. Some might be in a place where they, you know, their fathers raised them to be money hungry. Or some might have been, you know, to get their way, and they lie all the time just to keep themselves out of hot water. But as a general, a woman made up the same way, and all of us got the same complaints. That's why none of us talk. Because we don't want to go to that second level and that third level of argument where we think we can't, the point of no return, that we can't, you know, we can't bring back, or we say some stuff that we might not mean to say, and then now it's another whole attitude. But generally, after we get married to them, all of them are the same. Every last one of them, they did what they did to get us, and now we feel like we stuck. Every last man on this call know that.
How many men on this call found out something about your wife after you're married that you did not know before you married? You were like, wow, you know, I kind of thought she'd tell me this before we got married.
Yeah.
Am I the only one?
No.
Okay.
No, not at all.
Okay.
I don't count yet, but I'm going to tell you what the biggest problem is.
Here we go.
My man.
And I'm going to say it this way. The younger you are when you get married, the more you're in trouble. And I'm going to tell you why. Because you're afraid to say the things that's going to either upset her, hurt her feelings, or alienate her. When really, they don't care that they do those things to us.
Yeah. Holler at me after you get married and see if that still works.
But see, you keep kidding.
CJ is right. It works.
I'm going to tell you, you don't have to be married and it works. Because I'm going to tell you why. When I was younger, the very thing that you're talking about now is I saw different women because I wanted one woman to have everything. And if she didn't have it, I'm going to pick the girl that I want to spend time with, who's going to give me what I need at that moment. Okay? As I got older and realized that I can't have it all, then I had to prioritize what's more important to me.
Sure.
Now that I'm 52, I don't care if I hurt my girl's feelings, because I'm going to tell her the truth. If it hurts you, then you need to evaluate yourself, because I'm just telling you, I'm not going to tolerate this. I'm too old. I'm not going to do it.
CJ, again, when you're dating and you have a long-time girlfriend, she will...
But see, you're supporting...
It works for me now. I'm married and a couple of years married, and that works for me.
But you can't...
You're helping me support my own statement. You are saying that, you know what, after you get married, you hump, right? But you don't say anything to her because you want. If you're feeling her, you're afraid to lose her.
No, that's not true.
Yes, it is true. Because if you say something to her, for instance, let's say out of the blue you say, you know, I don't like your feet. You need to take better care of your feet. What do you think the next thing you're going to be feeling?
Well, let's say something more realistic than that, because that ain't going to get her to go out the door. Let's just call it something else.
I didn't say for her to go out the door, but she's going to be a little pissed off for about a week or so.
You know, in that case, you knew her feet ugly before you got married to her. That's something should have been already established.
I'm saying you say this before you got married. See, the problem isn't what you find out after you get married. It's what you overlook before you get married.
Hey, let's do a real scenario, CJ. Right now, I'm quite sure any time you raise your finger or give the signal, the booty is in your face. Okay, that's how. I'm gonna say it was like that for me before I got married, before I decided to change my ways and go follow Christ. But when I said, "Hey, let's do it," and it was on like everything. Now. I got my finger up in the air. She's like, "What's you got a question?" You know, it's different. You know, it ain't the same. The signals, you know, it's like I don't have to do what I did to get you, because I got you now. And if I don't feel like it, then I can just say I don't feel like it. And for some reason, you think that everything that you got away with, and as much sex that you got or you getting right now, you think that that's going to continue to play out. And I'm telling you. If you feel like that and you think like that, you're playing yourself, because you're going to be mad, man.
Yeah.
But at any time before you married her, did you happen to say to her, is this going to be like this after we get married?
Yes.
Am I going to be able to get it like this?
Yes.
Once we married?
Can I give y'all a real-life example?
Please.
So when I was single, when I was courting my wife, we were girlfriend and boyfriend, I used to try to clean up my apartment before she came down to impress her.
Mm-hmm.
And now that we are married, last week my wife challenged me to clean up my basement. I cleaned my basement up. I did better than she did. And she was like, "Well, how did you do that?" And I said, "Well, you know, I used to work for a janitorial company." "You act like you've never even heard that." She was like, "Oh, so you can help me clean up now." I said, "No, I'm not helping you clean up." And she said, "Why?" I said, "Because you're going to always find something wrong." So... ain't nothing changing. I'm going to keep doing what I do, which is not clean up, and you go ahead and clean up, and I take care of all the duties that I take care of. And we'll continue to have this mutual arrangement.
Look how you switched, though. You switched from cleaning, having a clean apartment right before she came over, so the only thing that she ever saw about Ike was he got a clean spot.
That's right, yeah.
Now she got to tell you to clean your basement up.
Oh, no, that was just a one time. Now, she cleans. Oh, you missed that. She cleans. No, she don't tell me to clean my basement. That was just one time where I showed her that I could clean.
Okay, but what I'm saying is, if you was always the clean man, clean house, clean this, clean that, from now she doing all the cleaning and you don't have to because you don't feel like it, then you have changed as well.
No, it's not. No, you ain't got it. So, listen, she said, so you can help me clean. And I said, no, I'm not going to help you clean, because no matter what I do, you always find something wrong with it and nitpick it. So the way we have existed for these last 3 years in this house is the way we're going to continue to exist. You do the cleaning, and I'm not.
Okay, you missed what I'm saying. You used to clean your spot every day or before she came over, your spot.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Now, when she come in the house, do you clean before she come in the house now?
No.
Okay, why is that?
Because she can do that.
Okay, so you have changed as well. You ain't the same before you got married to her. You used to clean.
Okay, well, yeah, I changed, but now I'm sitting up here talking about how we can just say Well, we not going to do to our wives after we marry, because you said you can't say that now.
Yeah, yeah.
That was my point.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, that's where I was. But, yeah, I changed. Yeah, I changed all the time. I'm probably going to change tomorrow.
Yes,
sir. And that's the transformation that this conversation is about.
Yes, sir.
Yeah, yeah. No doubt, no doubt. And again, I just demonstrated exactly what we're talking about, which is good. It's a transformation outside of your representative. And I didn't even hit that part yet. But as far as what we present in the beginning, this image that we give of what it's going to be like.
That wasn't my representative.
No, no, no. What I'm saying is it was still an image that she got. And not putting it on you, because believe me, there's images on the other side. I'm pretty sure you could talk about some images she gave you that you know.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
You know what I'm saying?
But there's an image.
But there's an image, right? And okay, let me drop this real quick. There's an image that's portrayed during the courtship stage. And the image is so powerful and vivid of promise that it makes you want to transform into a one-woman man.
Yeah, exactly.
That's what
I said at the beginning, right.
You know, and then you get to the point where that image is no longer there. You is just a glimpse of it, because that's all you got was a glimpse.
But.
And now you got to transform into something else. Go ahead.
But by you having so many options and you not being young and being older, now I'm talking about an older man.
Sure.
You know that it's going to change.
Yeah.
And you know the first thing that's going to go is the second. Every you know, you old, if you after age 35, you got to know the first thing that's going to go is the second.
But how do we know that?
You got to know. There's no way.
No, it's been told to you from day one before you even walked into the bachelor room. Hey, man, you know sex is over. And the first thing you say is, it ain't going to happen to me.
CJ knows the sex is over once he says I do.
No, he doesn't.
Yeah, I mean,
he's not buying into it.
It's over, man. It's over.
He's not buying into it. You know he's not buying into it.
I know he ain't buying into it. He's trying to man up.
I am not going gently into dark. I'm not.
CJ, you kick and scream and break all the nails you want. You going right down that same path we going, man.
So,
not as much as you want. You can still have it, but it's not as much as you want.
So.
Tell you, that girl can't wait for a break.
Yeah.
Can't a break.
Thank the Lord, I can take it easy. Just the moon and I can rest.
That's a horrible sight right there.
Man, if I was 19, y'all would change my mind. I'm a man of me.
So, let me ask a question. I don't want to put you on Front Street, but you're the only one in the category that you're in, I think, on this phone. When it comes to the point where all that glitters ain't no more gold, and what you're getting now is no longer a reality, what options are you going to exercise?
Wow. Well, I don't know. Maybe I guess I would have to change my game plan. But the difference is that instead of me asking that afterwards, she asking me. See, I did my homework. I was looking for somebody that maybe was even a little more, you know,
hungry.
Yeah, you know, like and then we also is getting to the point where, you know, it's the change of life type thing. You know, and like I said before, I come from a family of freaks. I mean, we stay busy, and she's pretty that way. So it's not like it's going to be a drastic change, but you know there will be a
drastic change.
Oh. I'm not buying it.
Okay, come on.
What do you call a drastic change? We walk through the door and it's like, okay, this is the way it's going to be. You get
a drastic change, brothers, when you get back on this call 6 months after marriage, it's been like, Ike, you right. You was right. And it might be a subtle, it might be subtle. I'm just telling you, man. You know it, man.
But you still didn't answer the question, CJ. T-Hawk asked you, what are you going to do when it stops?
You don't know. We don't know. We don't even know.
Like
what
I said, I guess
we
can't
even help
my game plan. But right now, I mean.
What do you mean change your game plan? Like a different approach to coming at in the bedroom or weighing
towels? I would basically have to maybe hydraulic drill maybe instead of, you know, vertical drill instead of going straight down till I hit. Hit all, whatever I have to do to get it going.
Okay. Yeah, you ain't hit that marriage wall, man. That ain't going to work, bro.
What if she says, no, I don't feel like it. I got a headache. Back. I'm over it.
What if she say, I need to change the scenery?
Which means change scenery?
Exactly. Vacation. I need to be away. Different setting. I'm tired of giving it up in this house, in this bedroom. And
we
got to pay
that.
For it.
I ain't got a problem with that. I don't have a problem with that. But to get back to the point, if she doesn't feel like it, then I go occupy myself with the things that I have to occupy myself. Because, see, now my game plan is to get her to wonder why I'm not paying her any attention.
Oh, so you're going to leave the house?
No. I don't have to leave the house. But most of the time when a woman does that, you're punished for some reason.
No, that's not true.
No, not at all.
If she's into you, right? If she's into you and she comes in hard and you do the right things, you may not get all 10 innings, but you might settle for 4.
No, CJ. She's home from work.
You know, man, you delusional.
Day, and she is a log. She ain't feeling nothing. She complaining about getting up to having to take a shower before she go to bed. She ain't feeling nothing.
Okay, hold on.
Let me ask this question. Oh, go ahead.
No. ask the question, please.
So my question would be, because I'm hearing both sides of the argument, and I know where I stand on it as well, pretty much with probably every other guy on the phone. But let me play the advocate for a second. Are we saying that there is a deficiency in sex or a lack of sex in every marriage in the world?
Oh, yes, definitely.
100%. I don't think it's possible for them to even give us enough.
Wow.
I don't think it's possible. I don't think my wife could give me all that I wanted.
Amen, bro.
I don't think she could.
So what you're saying is, that there isn't a day that goes by where you aren't like, nah, I'm good.
Please, it ain't a day to go by. We could be just got finished fighting.
So are we saying also then, if we say that, we're saying that there are no women in the world who are married who are nymphs or who want it as much as a man wants it or more. Hey, we had one on the call.
No, she was just lying. She was lying. She's like I said. She was lying, bro. Now, she wasn't against me.
Okay, but is that what we're saying?
From the jump, then I considered her lack, you know. But if everything was right with her husband and things was all good, then I guarantee she wouldn't be complaining. She'd be trying to push him off of him, for real.
So knowing this, no one warned you of this previously before you got married? Because, see, if sex was so important to you, you would not have got married in the first place.
I expected it, CJ, because I had been married once before, so I already knew that.
But I'm talking about your very first.
I thought I was going to have a sex
day
every day.
Your father, your uncles all sat down and say, look, I'm telling you right now, if you're racing down the road at 100 right now,
listen.
Once you say I do, you will come to a screeching halt.
But
listen,
get married.
I was 21, 22 years old. I wasn't hearing nothing they were saying. I was looking at that behind and that chest and them lips, and I didn't care.
So every woman is deviant because she gives you all that you can handle and more until she gets you.
That's right.
Yeah. That's why I say women lie.
So is that devious?
No, it's not devious. I think it's just human nature. I think it's just how women are, man.
Man, read my book, man. It tell you the women is like that, period. If they're like that and it's built up in their DNA to be a certain way, I mean, you can call it devious, you can put a name on it, but all of them the same. Just like all, I mean, I'm going to say all men are generally the same. We first, before a woman even open her mouth, even say anything to us, we checking her outside out, but you know, first. So that's all
it.
Of us.
Like, that's, you know, human nature, though.
Right. Okay. So that's what we talking about.
That's the predator of a man. I mean,
no, that's
a
human
woman.
Nature. If you got eyes, the first thing you're going to see is not the heart.
That's it.
But
so
what do you think
like,
woman looking at?
Yeah, it sounds like that's kind of like a that's what you get type of scenario. Well, that's what you get. You was looking at my booty. You married me for my booty. Now you can't have it.
Yeah.
But the woman look at, okay, well, do you got a job? Do you still stay with your mama? You know,
yeah.
What kind of, can you secure me financially? Can you help me with my bills? Can you pay this and that? And, you know, not, and I'm not saying all of them like that, but all of them want security.
Wouldn't it be nice that if the woman changed after marriage, that all men would just quit their jobs?
Say what?
Mm-hmm. Oh, man, the men would just quit their jobs.
I don't know about quitting jobs.
You know, but just think about it. Just think about
he
the
got a point. He got a
think about the
point.
Concept. I know it's not going to really happen, but just think about it. Just think about if a woman was trained up as a girl. You know, if you change after marriage, you know, the first thing the man going to do is quit his job. You know what I'm saying? Just put it in their DNA and their thought process for a second. Wouldn't that change how they program? You know what I'm saying? How they carry out marriage?
So the women down south, they trained up. You know, hey, the best thing to a man's heart is his stomach, and they got all these sayings and cliches, and they actually believe this. You know, I need to show this man I can cook. I need to show this man I can sex him. I need to show this man this and that just to get him.
Man, my ex-wife from Mississippi.
Okay, so we should blame our forefathers because their thing was a woman belongs in two places, the kitchen and the bedroom.
So I think I get everything everyone's saying. I think where I'm struggling is I'm struggling with the fact that we're saying all. We're just
all.
Lumping all women, all men into one category, and this is what they do.
Yeah,
we lumping them into an all-category baseline.
Yeah, we are. And this is a pretty easy baseline because they all lie.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah.
And they all cater to the situation. And they all want to get married. They want to have the big, beautiful wedding. And they'll do whatever it takes to have that wedding. That's how they're programmed.
So
there's no woman out there.
No, you go ahead. No, I was just going to say, but I'm going to go back to the original question that I had. We think there are no women out there who want sex as much as men.
They do, but then when they get married, they don't want sex that much anymore.
No, I can't believe that. I'm not going to believe that.
You don't
want to
believe it. I know, but the marriage is powerful, man, because they've been sold on the idea of marriage. And then once they're married and they're like, oh, not only do I have the big wedding, but now I have to live with someone for the rest of my life. Well, I never thought about that. The only thing I thought about was the Barbie and Ken wedding. That's all I ever thought about.
But, you know, he got a point. Some women, I mean, not all of them are just, you know, like that. But you got a slim few that if they was freaky as kids and they's freaky as adults and they just freak all the time and they just coming off the streets of being freaky and they said, okay, I'm a nympho. I'm not talking. Those are exceptions. You know, we're not talking about the exceptions. We're talking about the average.
But, you know, I'm talking about the exceptions. How many of y'all know some freaky women that's married and ain't giving their husband none? Am I the only one?
No, wait a minute. But isn't there a ton of women, and I think Rodney did some statistics on this on one call, isn't there a ton of women who are cheating on their husbands?
Yeah.
Mm.
Yeah, yep. Exactly.
Mm. Help me understand that one then.
Exactly.
Hey, they cheat on their husbands because they're not getting affection at home. That's totally
different. No, 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 no.
No, no, they're cheating on their husband having sex. They ain't having no affection.
No. I got that.
Well, that's not
what I'm saying. What I'm saying, if a guy is telling them something that their husband is not, then they want to keep that coming. So if it goes with the territory to have sex with the guy, then they're gonna do that because that's what that guy wants, because she wants something from him. But it's not that she's cheating because she needs sex. She can get that from home.
No, she can't.
Oh,
see what the,
you don't
lot,
want
what he's
sex.
Trying to say is that, you know, we talked about this a couple of weeks ago, that we don't want to know the truth. We don't want to know how many partners, you know, a woman have, or if we were the best. So sometimes women cheat because they just can't take what you're giving them.
Exactly. Or not giving them.
Right. So here's the question.
So you think a dude can wind and dine his wife, and he got a little penis. Let's say he got a little penis, and he whining and dining his wife, and she knows he ain't long big daddy long spoke with nobody, but he is a nice guy and he loves her and he raised some kids right, all of that other stuff. You mean to tell me that woman, since she's not satisfied by itsy bitsy or whatever, you mean to tell me he knew
it happens every day.
She is a liar.
But she'll quickly tell you that she truly loves him and that doesn't matter.
She lying.
Look, if this woman is taking on two Lexington Steels at the same time and marry, Kitty dude, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah,
little Pee Wee Herman.
Yeah.
And now all of a sudden she's talking about she loves this man with all her heart. She missing Lexington Steel, man.
Yeah. That's the problem.
Yeah.
You can't ever fill that hole. That's the problem.
No.
And
she
lying to Pee Wee Herman thinking he killing it.
Yeah. No, she lying. She been lying. And he ain't got no protection in his house. If somebody come in, the lawnmower man come by and knock that down.
Right.
Do you think a woman could be that cold? You're talking about a cold-hearted person.
Yeah.
Ain't cold-hearted. It's human nature.
Right. I mean, listen. So what's the difference then when a woman says, okay, well, you know, right now, and she ain't got to say it, y'all dating and it's 3, 4, 5 times a week, to once a week or once every other week. What's the difference?
Huge damn.
How cold-hearted is that?
Very cold-hearted.
Right. You put the ring on that based on them stats.
You get your ring back.
Don't add up no more.
He said, get your ring back.
And quit your job.
You see what I'm saying? So there's no difference than the guy that's short. You know what I mean? But he was a quality catch. The only thing, he had some shortcomings versus the guy that ain't, that doesn't have a shortcoming, but just ain't getting it the way he promised he was going to be getting it. It's all cold blooded, I think.
That's why the good man always is last.
Yeah. So.
Not always.
Not always, but you know.
Here's the question. How did the transformation come about from the woman that was all about it to the woman that you got to beg for it now?
I know, I'm going to tell you. Wait, let me see my wife at first. I got to make sure she ain't in the room nowhere.
See, you could. You get put on blast while we record.
Hey.
Now, that would be embarrassing if she come in and snatch the phone from me.
Right.
What your statement is.
He finished what he was about to say.
I'm telling you, man, I keep it real. I ain't trying to sugarcoat nothing because it's the only way we can help real people, you know what I mean?
Sure, yes. That's right.
My wife, I did not know she was smoking weed. She used to smoke weed because she didn't know, due to my job, they asked me certain questions, and that's one of the questions that pop up. And then when I told her how my poly went, I didn't know that was the day she stopped smoking weed. So, and we were still dating, so we got married, and then her attitude, she wasn't as cool as she was before. And I thought it was because, I said, man, that's like a light switch. You know, yesterday you were straight, but now you, like, lately you just been firing off like a firecracker. What's going on? And then she just finally let me know this one thing. She's like, look, man, I used to smoke me some weed when I got home from a rough day. Every time I got mad with these kids, I used to puff some weed. I was good. I say, well, you know, it's new to me. I'm like, where did you get it from? I mean, you know some dope dealers? She's like, no, I got some nephews, you know. I'm shocked because I'm blown because I ain't used to this kind of thing.
Yeah,
but
she was blown too. Go ahead.
Yeah, everything was good, you know. And I'm like, man, you need to go back on some weed because we were straight before, you know. And, you tripping a lot, but I wasn't serious about it. But I was just like, I didn't know that you was the reason why I married you because you were so laid back. You didn't let nothing bother you. We went to church. Everything was normal. But you was just so laid back. And I just like, man, this is a woman cut out of heaven, built for me. And then I got a herb or something crazy. I couldn't believe that.
And you never thought of the herbal aroma that was going on in the house.
Always smelled like the same perfume. She had this perfume that I like, and that's what she smelled like all the time. But I don't know how she got rid of the smell.
No, he liked the smell of cannabis.
You thought that was perfume? Oh man, it's killer.
So basically, that was a secret that was being kept before and during the marriage.
For two years, man, we was dating. And then, you know, when it got closer to our marriage and we stopped having sex because we got closer to Christ, I thought she was getting closer to Christ, but I didn't think she was still smoking.
She would get closer to Christ, all right. You know, how you hold to the occasion.
Higher and higher. Ain't it a song, a gospel song, higher and higher or something?
Oh, yeah, she was on it, man. Wow. But I didn't know that was her, you know, her relaxed time, and you know, I wouldn't know to have that conversation with her. I just knew she was just laid back, like, yeah, you know, dude, let's go out here and shoot some pool. Yeah, babe, let's go do this, and we were just cool. And I was like, man, this is gonna be a wonderful, wonderful marriage.
Wow.
Let me step over my nephews first.
I'll be a little late. But again, to her defense. Well, I don't have no defense for her. Let me not say to her defense. But what I'm saying is, at least she gave up something that she enjoyed to be married to you, and it was important. She had to make the transformation. You know, but
everything transformed.
but he transformed too, because now his mental, you know, now his mental was like, oh, that was all.
Something
different.
You
know,
he's
a buzzkill. He sounds like a buzzkill.
It's like, oh, so you know now I got to learn the real you because I thought the laid back you was the real you, now I know that was a representative. You know, you was putting on a fake to keep your stress down.
And how you really handle stress without that?
Right.
Well, it's still a transformation that she's got. She's got a transformation to somebody that's functional without the chemical.
Right. And man, she's still cool. Don't get me wrong.
Oh, yeah.
But
yeah.
It just threw me completely off because it was just a it was a night and day difference. But I was like, yo, calm. I mean, usually when I, you know, piss you off, you don't go this hard, you know.
Yeah, but, man, take it as a blessing, man. At least you got an excuse and you know what it is.
Yeah, that's true.
Hey.
Don't have a clue why the change happened. Some of us still lost. Still asking that question. I wish I could blame it on some weed.
We'll buy some more weed, get it back normal. Go smoke a couple of them and then come back right.
Open up the secret stash, safe. All right, you need one of these. Go on, handle your business.
So now that we on this topic. I want to throw something out there. It's not a monkey wrench, but it is 10 o'clock. And we, you know, we ain't going to be young forever. And we're not going to be able to perform
Hey, you get out of here.
Our game forever.
Yeah, you get out of here with that.
At least, unless we see CJ 50 and still moving.
Well,
hey, they
well,
got the blue pill. I ain't scared of the blue pill.
No, I ain't doing no pill. I'm just going to
be a 40-year-old dude banging a 20-year-old woman. I'll be a 40-year-old dude banging a 40-year-old woman. So I'm good.
How are we going to make the transformation into erectile dysfunctional stage?
Viagra.
I just told you, I ain't scared of the blue pill.
Viagra, brothers. You're putting yourself through unneeded misery, Viagra.
Well, it sounds like y'all are going to need it because from what the research suggests, they said, you know, use it or lose it. So if you're not using it enough, you know, you better be prepared to get your prescription.
No, I don't know about that. Well, I know use it or lose it. Yeah, I have heard that. But, yeah.
I've done the research.
Oh, yeah, I know you have. Yeah.
Well, again, use it or lose it, right?
Right.
So,
mm-hmm.
So knowing that use it or lose it, and that is your, that's those are your tools. That's your tool. That's your gun.
Well, the plan is to never have to need Viagra.
Yeah. Right. So if you can't shoot your gun on a regular basis because of fear of your shooting privilege to be revoked, wouldn't that make you say I need to explore more options just to get more firing practice?
I don't believe in that research that Rodney talking about he did. I mean,
he did that trust me.
For
trust
a man
me.
To continue to, you know, get it on a more regular basis. That's who the research was done by.
Let me add that T-Hawk did some research, and it also helps with prostate cancer. But go ahead.
Yes.
That's right, T-Hawk?
Yes.
Thank you.
It does.
Release does that. We did a show on that.
Exactly.
Okay, but that's just saying that, you know, in a marriage, I mean, you know, three times a week, that's suffice. I mean, you can't say, hey, look, I need it, you know, five times a week, six times a week, so I won't get prostate cancer, or I'm going to erectile function. You can't. Come on now.
That is.
All right, so what would be a minimum? Two times a week?
Well, to me, it's 3, 4, 5. I've tried to work out, and that's natural and all that other stuff. She works out, and we just got the hormones are constantly, you know, moving through us, and you know, and we still in love, so you know that everything is natural. But not a lot of people, you know, want to take the time to work out with their wives, or you know, do what they have to do to keep their bodies naturally doing what it's supposed to do.
Yeah, I work out with my wife. We do Sean T, and then I do the push-ups and the sit-ups on my own, and to keep it natural, as you say. And, yeah, it's a great thing, you know. But my wife still don't feel like I have sex sometimes.
It don't disturb. I mean, it. We are both eagerly hungering for each other when it's time, you know, or we're equally tired from doing other stuff. So we got it. I mean, and I believe it ain't going to always stay like this.
Hello. You mean to tell me your wife, she ain't denying you, like, I don't feel like it?
Oh, no, but it ain't. I'm saying that she that does happen, but she asked me on the regular what is normal to me, and I say 3, 4, and 5 times. That's on the norm. But and then on that fifth or sixth day, she might say, hey, look, I don't feel like it, but let's believe that seventh and eighth day, we back in. No, so I can take it twice a day. I'm straight. But if she say she don't feel like it, it's never going to be a long period of time where it's just like I'm on punishment or something.
Okay, I'm still kind of waiting for the answer to the question.
What's that?
How are we going to transform into that to that point when it happens, where we got issues? Now, is it going to be the blue pill? Is it a conversation that we're going to have? Are we going to prepare our wives for it?
Talk to your doctor. He won't stay you wrong.
What's he going to tell you? That it's bound to happen?
If it's going to happen, then why not do more? You know, if you're friends with your wife and y'all best friends and you're talking all the time and you love each other, period, unconditionally, then if that and whenever that naturally happens, you always fall back on friendship and love. So, because I know some real old people that they don't even have sex anymore. They say, you know, we make love every day. I say, for real? Because, you know, my...
They lying.
Listen, my natural thinking tells me that that what we're talking about is physical sexual intercourse.
Sure.
And the old man explained to me, he said, no, we make love every day. We take walks making love. We talking, we making love. I rub her feet. She cracked my back. And
crazy.
That's love making. And they have accepted to themselves that, and they in their 80s, but they have accepted to themselves that making love is being friends.
They call it something we call
yeah.
it boning.
Yeah,
they not boning.
They not making love.
He said when everything stopped working, it equally satisfies your emotion by being loving to your mate and everything is okay. And I was like,
come on, man.
He in his 80s, nothing's working no more. Viagra ain't working, nothing. It's going to come a time when nothing works.
Yeah, and then you can get a surgical split putting that bad boy.
I don't know about
and
all that.
I've already done the research to hell with that, man.
What you're saying, Ike, is you being proactive.
Yeah, I'm going to make sure I'm working.
Okay.
So when you 89, 90 years old, Ike, do you think you still going to be as flexible and as
I don't need to be flexible. I need to do is just lay there.
I don't think you care at 90 anymore. At 90, you don't care.
Yeah, I don't think you'll care at 90.
You don't care about that.
At 70,
you may not even care. You'd be like, man, I done had enough.
Yeah.
Leave me alone. One of the chatters said, keep the blue pills on tap.
Yes, sir.
Or the yellow pill.
But now, I hear you, and that's great. But the way we was talking to CJ a little while ago about how the change is going to be made, aren't we going to be like Chris Rock in that movie?
What, I think I love my wife?
You took that blue pill, and now you stuck with it? Cause she
Man, he was not getting any at all, though.
Exactly. Hey. See, Rodney, I meant to go to your house on Father's Day, before Father's Day, and just go and give you one of them blue pills. So when you get your Father's Day gift, you can just go on and get gangsta on, and she don't even know what happened. You can just be like, you know what, 17-year-old Rodney right here. You ain't even know it was coming.
Next year.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Yeah.
I mean, I wouldn't mind a couple of days off because even your ace pitcher needs a couple of days off. You know, but when they talking that birthday and Christmas, then you creating a problem.
Now, but what I'm saying is, you know, you got that one day where you can predict where you just know you're going to get it, and then, you know, you just sneak and take a blue pill and she don't know it, and then you just, you know, you killing it. I mean, you know, you three endings into it. You know what I'm saying?
Well, Ike, you a grown man. We grown men. We ain't got to sneak and take a blue pill. Why we got to sneak and take it? Be like, look,
you want to just
8 o'clock it'll kick in. We need to be ready by 8 o'clock.
Sometimes you want to destroy it, man. You know what I'm saying? Cause I have to sneak because my wife don't want me to take it. She get mad because you know if I take it, man, she can tell because I'm going all night. It's like I'm 18. I'm working it, you know, because I'm almost 40, you know, now after the first one, you know, it takes me a little, you know, I need a little pregame before I can get back into the game again. But you take that blue pill, it's all, man, it's good. Oh, man, you ride with you. Your boy is right there with you, man, I'm telling you. You can put it on her. I'm telling you, put it on her. I'm talking about just for 2 days straight. Like she don't even want to blink.
Well, that's your intentions. But if she don't feel like it, then you stuck like Chris Rock.
No. See, that's why you got to make sure it's one of them days where you know you gonna get it, like Father's Day.
Oh, okay. You got.
I'm saying that's my whole point. So see, you flip the script on it. She think it's gonna be the same, you know, regular old wham bam. Okay, I'm done. Thank you. That's it. Like, nah, I snuck to one of them pills. So nah, I'm killing this.
I hope my man ain't on the call, but his Father's Day was Sunday, so he took one of these pills, right? and his granddaughter was, his grandson was born Saturday night. So he thought that, you know, everything was good. So he took the blue pill. He got up, you know, Sunday. He preached, and then he thought he was going home smashed. And his wife stayed at the hospital all day Sunday.
Wow.
Like, he's like, oh, I'm going to roll into Monday. Monday, she went back to the – he took off work Monday, right?
Oh.
I put a pick his daughter and his grandson up, came back home. He's like, babe. And
that's
she was arguing. She started. We went over there yesterday. I said, yo, I came over there to see the grandbaby. And he was anxious. I said, yo, what's wrong with you? He said, man, I took this Viagra, man, waiting on her to get ready. And she ain't even ready yet. And I told her I was going
That's what I'm talking about.
That's
Ike,
dope.
Ike, you said something profound. I don't even think you said it. I don't even think you know you said it. And I'm going to take it back. Because those who just came in, the topic tonight is transformation. One word topic. You said, correct me if I'm wrong, it's Father's Day, so you're probably going to get some. That tells me, thinking that way, we have to transform into thinking that certain things only happen on holidays.
Uh-oh.
On special days.
Where are you going?
We were transformed. We had to transform ourselves into a person that when we were single, every day was a holiday. Or every week was a holiday. It was Father's Day, birthday.
Every night.
Well, I posted
every
something.
Every night. Till now you got limitations.
I posted something about Father's Day on Facebook.
Sure.
I said, you know, to all the women who did their little Father's Day gift and lied to themselves thinking they put it down, you know, applaud for your mediocre effort.
Yeah. I didn't even know Father's Day was on that list. With birthdays and...
Oh, yeah, Father's Day is on the list. That's known.
That day.
Mm-hmm. T-Hawk, you ain't know Father's Day was on the list?
I didn't know Father's Day was
on the list. Oh, T-Hawk, don't say that, man. We got problems.
Yeah, I didn't know. Birthdays and Christmas.
No, T-Hawk, Father's Day too, man.
Father's Day, okay. Wow. Wow, ain't nobody else saying nothing, though. I don't hear nobody else say, yeah, it was a good Father's Day.
Yes, sir, Father's Day is on that list, man. We don't get that many. Might as well keep that in the rotation.
But again, see, that's the point I'm trying to make here. That's the point I'm trying to drive home. Okay, at some point, we had to transform into that guy that says, I think that it's my birthday coming up, so I'm going to give me some oral sex.
Okay, what's wrong with that?
What do you mean? What do you mean what's wrong with that? There's so much wrong with that. There's a lot wrong with that.
Yeah, I should be getting oral sex on the regular.
There's a lot
Amen.
Wrong with that.
On the regular,
but you should especially get it on those Father's Day, birthdays, and all that other stuff.
Well, I mean, what did you? This is not. I did my homework. I need, you know, can I get my treat? We're grown men.
Wait a minute.
Just because it's Friday.
Once you catch
just
the fish,
it's Friday.
Once you bring the fish out of the water and it's on the hook, and you bring the fish out of the water, does the fish keep swarming, or does it just sit there calm?
He's squirming.
Until you throw him on ice. And then once you throw him on ice, he's done.
Okay.
And that's what your woman is. Once you hook her and you say, I do, and you get her,
it done.
Your
Come
job
on.
Is done.
Come on, man.
She's
it
married.
Completely now. Come on, man.
She's
I know everybody
on here gets
like. Sex at least once a week.
Oh, you talking about the head doctor?
Yeah. Everybody hollering at him at least once, twice a week.
You say
no,
once
sir.
A week?
Okay.
Oh, hell no. Ain't nobody getting it. No, not once a week.
Not in a marriage? Not in a marriage.
Not in the marriage, man.
There ain't no marriage to the head doctor once a week.
Oh, man. Y'all
need to I don't believe that.
Somebody lying?
Hey, I ain't going to get my wife on the phone.
No, God, no.
Hey, this is getting dangerous real quick.
Yeah, this is getting dangerous.
But it has to be, it's two-way street. It can't be one way. You know,
you say you get it once a week.
Dude, I ain't trying yet. I'm going to tell you, it has to be reciprocated all the time. Now, you can't be, I owe you one. You can't be, it's got to be equal.
I don't think guys don't mind going scuba diving.
No, definitely don't.
We like seeing face to face with you.
I'm
Doc
Stowe, man. I'm looking for stuff.
Okay, and sometimes she gotta owe you after you do three deep. You know, you gotta go in three times before you get your one. But it should be reciprocated. It should be, dang, you know, you went out on me three times. I ain't went out. I'm gonna give you, you know, just because you doing me right and you making me feel so right, I'm gonna do you up, and that's the way it is most of the time. That's how I get mine once a week. It'd be like 3 to 4 to 1.
You ain't even on my. You ain't even on my planet.
Okay, well that's good.
They ain't a book you write that can tell how to get it once a week.
I have a curveball. Okay, now we talked about everything as far as us. Do you think that your wife thinks like this? If I don't give it to him the way he wants to, the first thing he's going to do is go out and cheat on me.
No. I don't think that.
Really? Yeah. It's put down that we are dogs. We will cheat no matter who it is, where it's at.
We didn't say that. Who said that?
No. This is what women say.
Sure. Women,
yeah, them some single women out there never be married saying that.
That like we can't control ourselves. The first woman that opens her mouth or her legs, and we're right there. We can't be trusted. So if that's the case, then if you're withholding on your husband, shouldn't you be afraid that the girl at the office or down the street might fill his prescription?
You talking scorn women, and you're talking that women that mess around and think they're gonna get Mr. Right at the club. You're not talking.
No. What I'm saying, no. I'm saying that at any time you don't think your wife thinks that.
No, she don't think. I don't think she thinks that.
Okay, so basically she's saying that I got him because I'll not give him anything and he won't do a thing.
No.
We're the only ones that have to deal with threats.
TJ, what kind of women you dealing with, man?
Once again, we are the only ones that have to deal with threats. Okay,
sure.
A woman will threaten to leave us. She'll threaten to divorce us.
Oh,
wait a minute! All to make us change what we're doing.
No, that's not true.
It's not true.
No, it's not true. So
you're telling me if you lost your job and you haven't got a job in a month now, and she doesn't come to you and say, look, you know, why haven't you gotten a job yet? To me, it doesn't look like
you're working. And here we go.
If you don't get a job by next month, I'm leaving you.
Dude, when
you're
married. Okay, TJ, let's call the time out. When you're married, I lost my job. And I make pretty decent cheese, and I lost it, and my wife's like, and I was out of work for 3 months, and that's where I was writing the book, and God had to do some things to me, but she was like supporting that a whole 150, and she was like, hey, she was encouraging me to stay, you know, to stay up. So,
but I know of guys
so
who get to deal with that. I know guys who had to deal with that.
Well, what kind of woman they had? You know, if they want her money.
Then it's the same question of what kind of woman you have who will set you up before you get married and then afterwards put you on freeze.
Yeah, he got a good point.
So then the question is what kind of woman you got?
He got a point.
She would do that.
Wait a minute. I don't understand where you're getting these women from, CJ. Maybe we don't shop at the same store or something. I mean, I know there's something out there, but then
hey, Darren, now you know they exist. You know.
Yeah, but but what kind of man are we to get a woman like that?
Yeah, but if you saying that when we looking at a woman to marry, the first thing we looking at is the booty. We want to see, You know what I'm saying? That just how that thing works. We want to make sure that it's live, not memorable, right?
Right.
They got their intentions too.
Oh,
guy's making this kind of cash. I see what kind of car he drives. I see what kind of watch. I see the kind of shoes. I see what he shops. I already know he you know, he about making money. Yeah, this is the person that I need to be married to.
Right.
And then all that something happened, and then all that gold turns to rust. She might be like, nah, dude, this is not why I married you. I didn't marry you, you know, because you a quitter. I married you because you was a go-getter. And now you ain't that person, so I'm out. If you ain't
this
stuff together, I'm out of here.
Okay, but when you got that kind of woman, it's other things that you see. I say, like, y'all, anybody look at the brass? I'm kind of forced to when I'm trying to get me a head game going. But I look at these dumb shows with my wife, the Braxtons, and I see this chick called Tamar on there, right?
Yeah.
It's all about her. Now, you know that's the type of woman that's gonna bail when the money stops. So he's choosing to be with that type of woman, and he should be, he shouldn't be thinking, if I lose my job, she gonna leave me. I don't think that way. I don't think if I drop my job, if something happens,
well,
my wife
is. It's not the point of what you think. If the statement earlier was made that women lie, right?
Yeah.
Do you think she's going to tell you the truth? If you don't peep her out from experience, you think she's going to come clean and say to you, okay, I'm going to marry you, but if you lose this job, I'm holding out on you. You know, you better keep a job, and you better keep my head done, and da-da-da.
Never been in that situation. If I hadn't been in that situation, I would probably say, you know, you might be right. But I was in a situation where I lost my job, man. And
well,
I'm not saying you.
I'm saying the other nine guys.
You got a good
I'm
one.
Saying the other nine guys out of ten.
Okay, let's take Ike wife, T-Hawk wife, P-Town wife, Rodney's wife, and they can, you can ask those guys the same question, and I guarantee those guys, since they're like they are, they don't have a wife like that. I can't accept to believe that they have
wait
a wife.
You're also not including if this woman is a woman of God before you married her or after you married her.
Mm-hmm. Well, I can tell you.
A woman who will say, all right, you know how they say you met her in the club?
Man, I can tell you this. I met P-Town wife today. If P-Town hurt his back, God forbid, or anything happened to him, but why that man is recuperating or recovering, and if it takes 6 months, his wife is going to pull the load. Okay?
Yeah, she's going to have
one out of billions.
That's two. Wait a minute. I ain't finished.
One out of billions.
Okay. Well, ask Ike. T-Hawk. I mean.
Hey, I'm not disputing what you're saying, Darren. I'm not. And again, we on this phone may not be good people to ask that question to. But I know there's some brothers out there that's sitting home without a job and without a wife. Something went wrong.
Yeah. Oh, that's the reality show's on right now.
Yeah, something went wrong. They thought they married a winner, and it was with conditions that they didn't know about.
Mm.
You know, but then again, it's self-inflicted. You know, you just can't get lazy. When you marry a star, you got, if she's a star, and you know she is, you know she flies. You know what I mean? You know where, again, you know what she likes.
But don't you see those signals? Don't you see those red flags when you're dating or when you're in the first?
Yeah, but his nose wide open.
His nose wide open.
Well, my first marriage, there was red flags. There was people telling me. I didn't care. There was nothing nobody could tell me.
Yep.
There was nothing nobody could tell me because I was thinking about all the sex I was going to have once we was married.
At first, you know the red flags because everybody was telling you. If it's obvious to everybody that there's red flags or something's wrong with this woman,
yeah,
it's obvious, then you know there's something wrong with her.
Yeah,
but that ain't stopped me from
like
marrying.
Song, when a man loves a woman, that song was written out of reality.
Hmm.
You can't say nothing to that man, and you did not say nothing about his woman.
I want to change gears, if I could, for this transformation piece. I'm going to throw this question out there because I think there's a few of us on this call that this applies to and there's a few that it doesn't, but you may be able to add a little insight to it.
Well, I know it don't apply to me.
You know it doesn't?
I know it.
How you know, Ike? How you know?
Bet a little something on it?
Because I'm Ike.
Oh, okay.
Ike, you want to bet a little something on it?
What you want to bet?
When we go out, when we go hang out,
yeah,
we're going to bet the first round.
All right, bet. It don't apply to, well, hold on, yeah, no.
He's confused, man. Ike, it's a sucker bet, and you just took it.
All right, go ahead.
Okay. When do you transform from a biological parent to a step-parent?
Ooh.
Ask that question again.
Ike, at it, brother.
When do you transform from a biological parent to a step-parent?
Well, that don't apply to me. You lost the bet, T-Hawk.
Okay.
I don't understand what that question means.
Okay. I understand what it means.
Well, explain it right.
Break it down.
Because we did a show many moons ago about eliminating the steps in parenting.
Okay.
And what it is that, you know, you don't treat the like you were the parent. And what the host is asking is that when do you transform? Like, when does it happen where you start treating
the children,
you know, the stepchildren, you know, the children
like
that you acquired by marriage as the biological children? Because
when do you start?
Yes.
Call them yours and say, this is not my stepdaughter, this is my child.
It doesn't happen on day one.
Yeah.
Well, that applies to me then.
It doesn't happen day one.
The question, he said, when do you stop referring to her as a stepdaughter and now it's your daughter? For me, it was from day one.
Well,
yeah, me too. It was day one.
Well, let me not say.
I never called her my stepdaughter.
Well, let me not say refer. Let's not say that. But when does it click in that it's no longer a stepchild, that that's your child?
It was the moment I got married.
Yeah, same for me.
Because that was part of me understanding what my responsibility was. Now, as far as her, you know, it's a different process that you have to develop before, you know, you don't just jump in and go, you know, 100 miles an hour. You know, you have got to develop a trust and a love from that child before you can truly parent them.
Yeah, but don't you do that during the courting stage? I mean, don't you start
after a certain point?
You
cannot truly until the ring is on the finger and you're married. You cannot parent that child.
Wait a minute.
Okay.
Hold on. Wait. Now, we.
I'm not talking about from a legal standpoint. But go ahead, Darren.
No, I'm not talking about legal either. I'm talking about the child. And I'll tell you, well, let me put it, you know, and I've been in this situation more than once. You know, until you know, you're married to their mom, you know, you're another boyfriend. And,
I don't know about that one.
Yeah, you're another boyfriend, and they really want their parents to get back together. That's really what's in their heart. Okay. And it wasn't until I got engaged to my wife that my daughter really, you know, dealt with the fact that her mom and dad weren't going to get back together.
Mm.
Because a young child, I mean, you know, they may not say it, but that's really what they want.
You know, my daughter told my wife, she said, you know, when my wife and her go out and get their hair done, they's like, oh, is that your daughter? She's so precious. And my wife was like, oh, yeah, I got four. And this is her stepmom. My wife sees my kids as her children, but my children don't see my wife as their mother. And matter of fact, my daughter got offended because she said, you're just trying to exclude mom when you say that. So I would feel more comfortable if you tell people when they see us together that you are my stepmom. And my daughter's 15, so she in a spot where she understands what she's saying. My son as well, he'll be 18 next month. But they, the children have to feel comfortable, and it has to be a two-way street. And even though I see my wife's children as my children, they don't see me as jack to them. But so I have to be the bigger and better parent or person to say, you're my child no matter how you see me. Now, if I was there, now she was there to raise my children. I wasn't there to be a part of her children's raising because they was pretty much practically grown when I got in her life. But children that are growing into it, that mom of the biological mother is always going to remind those children that you should treat that mother over there as a step parent and don't put her on my level. So you're going to always have conflict with that.
Well, no, you won't. Because I know in my situation, you know, my children are my stepchildren. Go ahead.
What? Are they father in their life?
Yeah, absolutely. All three of them have their fathers in their lives, except for one. I'm sorry. Two out of three had their fathers in their life.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I've talked to the fathers and told them where I came from. You know, this was before me and my wife got married. So the fathers know what I'm about. Know what the fathers are about, and I'm not trying to take the place of their father. I'm not trying to do that. They have their dad, but I do refer to them as my children. I don't make it an effort to say, okay, well, this is my stepchild.
Do they say this is my stepdad? They say this is my dad.
It depends. It depends. I leave that up to them. I don't get offended either way. But most times, 99% of the time, they refer to me as their dad.
Okay.
Yeah, if we're out at some event or something, you know, at a soccer practice, they'll say, okay, that's my dad.
And I'm in that same situation. Oh. And my daughter, I got married, matter of fact, today is my anniversary, when my daughter was 13, my stepdaughter was 13. And she was daddy's baby girl. You know, and you know, that's a different, you know, it's not like he wasn't in her life or anything like that. She's always going to have a daddy. And I let her know, I'm not trying to be your daddy. I'm not trying to take your daddy's place, but I will be your father. And I won't raise you as a stepchild. I'll raise you as my own. And that was a process, okay? But when she introduces her mother and I, she introduces us as her parents. Okay? These are my parents. All right? Yeah, that's my daddy, but these are my parents. These are the ones that raised me.
You know what, Andrew? You know? It's more of a thing. I think it's a stronger bond and a connection with the kids, with their mom than their dad.
And that may be right. You know, I can only tell you from my perspective. And I don't take offense when, you know, if she says this is my stepdad. Because to me, a stepdad has stepped in the place where the father has dropped the ball.
What about a step down from their original position?
It's not a step down. You know, a lot of times, what I told my daughter was, if you needed a daddy, I would be that. But you have a daddy.
Mm.
Okay?
Mm.
But I will be your father, and I won't treat you any different than my blood children.
But the word
it took a long time for a child to grasp that, and some never do. I've been blessed to be in a situation that she has. Now, you know, she knows her daddy, and she's still daddy's baby girl. But she also respects, you know, my position and where I came in. And it's not offensive to me if she said, this is my stepdad and this is my dad. Okay, because it's not meant in an offensive way.
But you got to understand, when you come in and say the word step, it doesn't mean a step-in kid or a step-in parent. It means what the world made it mean. It means a step down from the original position. So, you know, a lot of times require a certain, or it has a certain treatment that comes with that.
I don't take it that way.
You don't have to. I'm talking about from the child to the parent. They're not going to treat you like the original. It's just not going to happen.
Well, first of all, anybody tells you that they feel exactly the same to their blood children, to their stepchildren, are telling you something that's not true. You cannot recreate that bond.
Right,
it's
and that's
different. It's not that it's worse or better. It's different.
Sure.
Okay.
Sure.
And, you know, and like I said, you know, one of the challenges, and it's funny because my daughter was talking to my wife, and she said, you know, well, I've been thinking that she's not engaged or anything like this, but she's saying, you know, I'm thinking about when I get married. And she said, I want to honor the two men in my life, and I want them both to walk me down the aisle. You know what I mean?
That's awkward.
Well, you know, it is what it is.
Mm.
You know, and you know, and that's one of the things when we make the decisions that we're, you know, we're no longer going to stay married, it causes challenges for the children.
Wow.
You know,
wow,
but,
good words. Good words. But
you know,
so,
go ahead.
You had to get to a point where that wasn't just given to you, correct?
No.
What?
You kind of had to earn that.
No, you have to earn that. You know, and I would be absolutely fine if she didn't feel that way. I've never even said anything to her. But she was talking to her mother without me even being there. You know what I mean? And she understands. As a matter of fact, a couple of years ago, she wrote us an anniversary card, and she said, you know, thank you for showing me an example. And when I get married, I want to have a marriage like you guys have.
I just feel like it's different. I mean, if a dad... they're not put on the same level as a mom. I mean, in a child's eyes, they're not put on the same level. If I'm their biological dad and they have a biological mom, if they was to get another, if their mom was to get another husband, it would be easier for them to consider that man as, this is my dad. It can just easily slide out of their mouth. But reverse the roles, put those children in a house where a new mom is at, it is not so easy. It's not the transformation. It's not going to be as easy as that dad was. Because first of all, men don't get all into their feelings like, why are you calling that dude daddy? We don't get all into that like women do. Women have been untold a little girl or a little kid or their own child, your behind came out of my butt. My butt split for you, and you don't call no other mama but me. See, and the father won't get into all of that. We ain't gonna be beefing with the stepdad, or we ain't gonna be beefing with the ex-wife's new husband. We ain't gonna be beefing like that. We trying to make it as smooth as possible because we understand that the child is gonna go through some things that we don't really want them to go through. And number two, we ain't really there. Even if we are there, we're not there all the time like that other dude is. So we know how to give a big ups, thumbs up, or we could probably even go out and have a couple of drinks with the dude. But women can't do that. And since a woman can't do that with another woman, especially another woman that her kids is calling mom, oh, man, it's going to be a problem, bruh. I mean, them kids is not going to see their other woman as their mom. Never.
Man.
Never. Not unless they, until they get grown. But they'll never see their moms the same as they see their dad. Never do, never will.
This phone call is so interesting because, see, I don't have no kids yet. And all I'm thinking of is I need to stay married for show. Because if I had some dude like, hey, Martis, this is Roy. You know, Roy and I, I'm like, what? I'm throwing a sucker punch, dude. I'll just take the jail sentence. I couldn't do it, man. I can't see it. Like, I'm gonna be calling her up, like put a camera in your room. Put some cameras around the base of the living room. I need to see what this dude is doing. Maybe I'm the only one.
It's terrifying, man. I mean, it can be. It can be terrifying, brother. It is what it is, because you just don't know.
Yeah, I'm like I might just have to show up outside of his work, man. You know, just hey, what's up, bro? Cool, man. Just making sure you're still employed in the world. Good.
Yeah.
All right, later.
And Morty, don't talk about the discipline piece. Somebody disciplining your kid.
No. Yeah.
To a dad, again, to a dad, if another man, if his kid, like when my ex got a new man or whatever, and she was living with him, and my kids went to spend the summer down there, and he put my daughter on punishment. She called me to think that I was going to come down there and beat him up. So I said, look, and now on the other, and now when I called a dude, I said, hey, man, my daughter called me and said y'all was having some problems, some issues. She was on punishment. He said, yo, man, yeah, this is what it was. I got her on punishment because da-da-da-da-da. You know, I don't know, but you know, I don't know about you, what you think about me spanking your daughter. So I didn't spank her. I put her on punishment. And well, I'm not saying I agree with anything he said, but we had a conversation. Now, on the other hand, when my kids live with me and my wife, and my daughter got popped on the leg or on the butt by my wife because she didn't do what she was supposed to do, and my kid called her mom. And her mom called up, don't you ever bop, 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 B-I-T-C-H, you mother freak, you know, all of the name. And the difference was I was able to talk to that man because men know we don't play with each other. I'm going to either come at you and I'm going to kill you or I'm going to talk some sense and we're going to talk like regular men. Women, it doesn't matter if you do something to their child, if they think it's in a threatening situation, they're going to retaliate on another woman because they already don't like her, especially if you got custody of their child and you raising them by your hand. Oh, it's going to be a problem. So it's an obvious night and day difference between a stepmom and a stepdad and how that original parent or the biological parent treats that other person.
Yeah.
That's interesting. But you got a point, brother. I can't disagree at all, especially when it comes to the discipline piece. And you got some kids that need to be disciplined by whatever, the whole village needs to discipline that one kid. I get it. But again, a chatter did say that, you know, that women do find it difficult for another woman to call their, you know, for the kid to call another woman mom.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's deep. That's deep. That's deep.
I mean, we almost got to find this last time we was in Georgia. My ex-wife about to, her and my wife about to jump on each other because of some drama, man. I mean, and it was all because of the children, you know. You don't tell my, you don't make my kids call you mama because they down there trying to be like, which they making it. They don't know what to say, but they didn't tell her that, yeah, we call her mom because she's there, she's doing this, she's feeding us every day. She's showing us we got straight A's because of this woman. They ain't telling her all that.
Yeah.
She just overheard my son talking to my wife, and he called, yeah, mom, this, da, 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 da. When he hung up the phone, she called back, why are you making my son calling you mom? I told you, B, not to tell my kids to call. I mean, drama, 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 drama.
Yeah, but that's just unresolved anger, looking for the first people to pop out of, bam.
Yeah, yeah.
You know?
It didn't help that I was on TV and I was talking, I was giving this woman kudos, and she and not her.
That don't matter.
Yeah, no, that don't matter. I mean, so is it okay, is it cool to tell your, to demand of your stepchildren to call you mom or dad?
No, that's not cool. It needs to be naturally, like Andrew said, it needs to be a natural, earned position and a right and treating them kids right. And they need to, and that's why they start calling her mom. It was a natural thing. They asked her, can we start calling you mom? Because, and they gave her a solid reason. And she said, yes, but I can't have you switching back and forth calling me Miss So-and-so when you get mad at me and then go back to calling me mom when everything is cool. So you better make sure you want to call me mom because you will be calling me this from now on. So they took another week and they said, you know what, we want to call you mom from now on. It would, everything was cool until their mom, they biological mom heard them calling her mom, and it was chaos from there.
Because that's control, bro. Yeah, that's control. That's the last bit of exclusivity that you would have. You know, it's like, I'm just going to take it from me, and then and it's worse if the child gives it away, you know. So you go, you just gonna say they force it. You must have forced my child, my baby, ain't calling nobody no mama. I'm coming in to shoot you in the kneecaps.
Hey.
Mr. Host.
Yes, sir.
I want to drop a monkey wrench.
Please do. Please do.
Y'all need to get like a song, like some kind of little theme song for the Monkey Wrench. Yeah. That's the whole. Monkey Wrench.
Now, I want to, I've been listening a lot this evening, but I want to talk about my one-year-old son. And he was a lot like you guys at his age, but he's a taker. And what I mean by that is that he's self-centered. You know, he wants to be held. He wants to be fed. He wants somebody to change his diaper. He wants somebody to take care of him. The focus is him. And we do it lovingly. And we're all like that, you know, we're all born self-centered, selfish, self-absorbed. And why I say that is because the question I want to ask is that, does marriage require us to transform? And what I mean by that is that if you look at caterpillars have to undergo a metamorphosis to change into a butterfly or a moth. And, you know, in marriage, you know, when we walk, we kind of, and some of y'all will get this tomorrow, some of y'all will get it next week. But when you walk down the aisle, you're a caterpillar, but once you say I do, you have to make the decision, whether it be with the stepchildren, as you just talked about, or whatever. You have to make the decision that whatever the issue, are you going to be a butterfly or a moth? Now, butterflies are beautiful things. Moths are kind of ugly. You know, they can be beautiful to some people, but I prefer looking at a butterfly than a moth. And all caterpillars are designed to become a butterfly or a moth at some point. They will not stay caterpillars unless, back to my one-year-old son, if he finds one, he's going to squash it.
Yeah, unless you step on it.
Exactly. He's going to kill it.
Mm-hmm.
But if the caterpillar lives through its metamorphic state, it's going to become, it's going to become a butterfly or a moth. So we have to look at, you know, in regards to marriage, what we're talking about is transformation in marriage. The question is, doesn't marriage require us to transform in some way?
Yeah, unless you step on it. That you crushed it in the first year.
Mm-hmm.
But what I'm saying is that butterflies are beautiful. It's a beautiful thing. You know, marriage when done right, like my marriage, like all of you guys, man, you know, we have our issues. I mean, let's be real. But at the same time, you know, it's a great thing. You know, we don't regret, you know, let's hope, you know, we don't regret, you know, who our wives are today. Now, some of you have been married multiple times, and you might, you know, look at that as a learning experience, or maybe it was a regret. I mean, but we, you know, the lovely ladies that we're married to today is, I mean, it's a beautiful thing. You know, it's you look at it, and it's a beautiful thing, and it's no regrets with the decision you made. And like I think y'all talked about earlier, is that some transformation in your marriage was willing. You know, you didn't have to, you know, be coaxed to do this or to not hang out with the boys or whatever the case may be. You know, some transformation, you know, was a good thing. And others, you know, it was kind of like, hey, you know, what did I sign up for here?
You know what, man, this metamorphosis analogy using, I'm going to say this. It actually, it's a lot longer period, right, than what I think you're displaying, because, you know, that change, so to speak, if you want to use that analogy, that can be the next 25 years.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that so-called butterfly, you know, beautiful finish stage, I mean, you might be doing the, you know, the ruffled tuxedo high pants dance, man, before you get to that stage where you can look back and say, wow, you know, yeah, man, you know, you may be talking with your teeth rattling. You know, it takes some time, man. Like, even now, I can just sit and think of, you know, where I came from just in the last you know, I'm a shade under 8 years and in 2 months. And I probably told y'all before, like, I had no designs on getting married. None. My plan was to be single and have dinner dates. That was the plan. And I don't know what happened, man. I don't know what happened. Like, to this day, I don't know what happened between, hey, I don't even remember asking her to marry me. I don't remember, man. I just don't remember. It just happened. I'm happy for it.
He was good. Hold on.
Fine.
Hold on.
There it is.
Okay.
That happened last week too.
Yeah, it's a man. It's a process. Like now, I'm just starting to feel the change. You know, I can't say we in butterfly status, but we definitely were changing. We are definitely changing, and you know, it takes some time, man. You know, it takes some time if you go through that process, and I fear that in this day, this age, every generation talks about the one that's coming up behind them as being the worst. You know, parents say that about us. You know, their parents talk about them. Oh, yeah, this horrible generation. But now the attention span is so universally brief.
Yeah.
Mm. It's not just conversation. It's my electronics, all my devices. Everything is multitask. Everything is so built on I need to see the result now. That when you permeate a people with everything being now, you can't appreciate metamorphosis. That becomes a term that you just can't appreciate. You know, you start putting substitutions in just regularly. You know, you can't appreciate home-cooked meals. You like it. You like the taste of it. And when you go down to Grandma and Big Mama's and then Thanksgiving, you love the taste of it. But you can't appreciate the process of making it versus going down to Boston Market or heading off to Sam's Club and just throwing something together in the microwave for 6 minutes. And that comes your mental approach to everything. So I'm fearful, man, for people who are, you know, just now saying, hey, I want to try some marriage stuff. But it's better work in 9 days because the first time you get on my nerves, we're going to call it first time love fight. Second time, I'm ready to leave.
Wow.
It works.
That's crazy. But that is insane what he just said, if you think about it. Because if we want everything now, I mean, we talk about the video we shot was 2 hours long. People give us 2 minutes.
Two?
2 minutes. I'll give you 2 minutes. I'll give you 30 seconds.
Yep, there you go.
To pique my interest. If you haven't piqued my interest in 30 seconds, just like a movie, somebody better get killed while the credits are going up, somebody better get killed for the people to stay and watch the rest of the movie, especially if it's in your house. You're watching it on TV. So just imagine with this right now society and marriage is concerned. And we wonder why they ain't working. Because people don't have time to wait it out.
Marriage is a marinade.
They're like metamorphosis. What? Nah, dude.
That's worse. It's too long.
Yeah, I got to go to work in the morning. This thing got to work.
Yeah.
Dang. What's going on with Pete Towns' phone? I don't, you know. Rodney, that's a strong point. That's a strong point, brother.
But you know what? If you can wait it out, you're guaranteed to have something of more complex depth than anything else.
Yeah. Yeah.
Guaranteed.
Yeah. You
like you're not going to be disappointed 10 years later, 5 years later. 5 years later, you're not going to be disappointed from putting in the work, the plan. See, so you say, oh, man, it sucked. I could have just went down there and had me a quick marriage by night and just got rid of it. Man, this is the same. No. There's definitely something where you can look back and take pride and hold your chest out after a year of working together with somebody in a marriage element versus let's just hook up and share each other.
Nah, man, a year too soon, man. You got to go longer than that to be a
year too soon? I don't know, man.
You got to go longer than a year, man. You got to go. You got to, if you make it past that 7-year mark, like we were talking about a couple of weeks ago, the 7-year itch.
Mm-hmm.
If you make it past that 7 and you get up to 10 and 11, now you can really, you earn the right to say, you know what, I am butterflying this thing. I had a conversation with my wife today. I asked her, am I a professional husband?
That's a topic right there.
I asked her that because she was telling me, you know, we renting our townhouse, and she was telling me what this professional real estate agent told her. Well, this is coming from a professional. You should do this and you should do that. And then every time we got something going on at the church, well, the pastor said this and that and said that and the third. Then when I tell her to do something, it's like, well, that doesn't make any sense to me. I'm like, well, if you listen to the professional when it comes down to the things of the church, and you listen to the professionals when it comes down to real estate, and you say I'm a professional husband, why don't you listen to me when I tell you to do something or when I ask you to do something? Why I got to be a beef? You know, if you put me on the same level as what you call these so-called professionals and you say I'm a professional husband, then you should be able to listen to me and take my advice too.
So she got a step-husband.
I was just trying to get her out. Understand, you know, I'm trying to, if you calling me a professional, if you feel that I'm a professional husband, then you should listen to me like you listen to all those other professionals out there with their advice, you know. It shouldn't be a question whether, you shouldn't question me if I say, hey, we need to do this way. Why we got to do it that way? I don't even think it's making sense. I say we'll have a better marriage. I mean, we always got an awesome marriage, but it'd be even more awesome if you consider me a professional as you do all these other cats. And she's like, well, just know what you're talking about every time, and then I will.
That's funny.
I mean, we cool, but it's just the fact that, you know, they always want to tell me what the experts say. And she always want to tell me, you know, well, this person say this, and they've been doing this for 20 years. And this person say that, and they've been doing it for 5. Well, we've been married for this many a long time, and you've been with me all this time, and you still don't listen to me, so you only know that person's resume and their history, and you go already believing what they say, and they might even be right.
Yeah, and I want to drop another monkey wrench on the back end of what you just said, Darren. And, you know, because at what point, you know, do married men, you know, transform into simply wanting to be that professional husband, you know, versus what we all used to do, me included, before household stress came along? You know, I was just on a wing and a prayer, faking it till I make it. I mean, it is what it is. I wasn't in Barnes and Nobles or Books a Million, you know, in the marriage aisle, or I wasn't on the internet searching for, you know, ways to improve my marriage, you know. But now, you know, I'm trying to be a professional. Same thing like, I think it's Kobe. I don't know if y'all are Kobe fans or not. I'm not. But I think he comes to the gym, you know, and he shoots like a couple hours before game time, before like they start, you know, getting warmed up. Is that true?
Oh, I thought you was gonna say he was a professional marriage person now.
No.
He comes 2 to 3 hours before everybody else and just starts shooting around.
Exactly.
Two to three hours
before, so he's the only one in the gym. I guess he has somebody throwing in the ball and, you know, getting the rebounds and everything so he can shoot around. So 2 to 3 hours before people start coming in and warming up, this guy's in the gym just shooting, you know, making sure that his shot is right, you know. So versus the other guys, they just show up, you know, at the regular time. You know, the coach said, we got to be there at 4 for the 7 o'clock game, so I'm going to be there at 4. Kobe there at 1. He's there way in advance.
Yeah, you see that mentality in every walk of life, though, man. You know, acting. You know, there's a lot of actors. A lot of people think they just, I need to keep my face clear and have a hairline and I'll be good to keep these smile working. Yeah, that's nice, but there's actors like that and there's actors like, you know, Daniel Day-Lewis.
Yeah.
Let me tell you something, dog.
you have to be of a all Madden level of acting to carry a movie like Lincoln. This movie will put you to sleep in a comfortable way. If it was anybody else, you would be out within 20 minutes. Somehow he did it. Because this dude is so committed. He played some role. I didn't see the movie, but in the role, he played somebody who was in a wheelchair bound. He stays in the wheelchair for like the entire 5 months, day in, day out. They had to lift him out of the wheelchair. That was part of his thing. He said, "You're going to have to carry me out of this," in his house, at home. Who does that? Who does that?
But you said the magic word. You said a big word. He was committed.
Yeah, that's craft. That's craft.
And that's,
you know,
going back to my earlier point, whether it be Kobe or Daniel Day-Lewis, you know, it takes some commitment to want to be, you know, on the level where Kobe will be in the Hall of Fame. A lot of the guys that are probably bouncing the ball tonight ain't going to even come close to being in the Hall of Fame.
They just sitting in the hallway.
Exactly. So it's like, but you have to do things different, you know, to be a professional. And, you know, going back to my question is like, when did we transform to saying, okay, you know, I'm going to find ways to improve myself to be a better husband? Not because the wife is nagging and ragging on me, but because I just want to be better myself too. Like, when do we transform from the guy that just, you know, at the barbecues and, you know, had the marriage issues and everything, and it's like, you know, I'm going to just wait it out, brother. You know, time heals. You know, we'll figure it out. And, you know,
yeah,
to the brother that actually says, you know what, I'm committed to this thing. This thing is not going to fail. I'm gonna do everything in my power, you know, to make sure that I do everything so it does not fail.
Yeah.
And, I mean, you look at the host. You know, perfect, exact, shining example. I don't mean to put the spotlight on you, but I mean perfect example to that guy I'm talking about, to the guy that's on here, you know, right now, you know, delivering, you know, this good product that, you know, it's so crazy to me that it's night and day.
California,
you know, the guy that didn't even think about this, the guy that took the California king bed and was like, "You're gonna sit in a little, you know, a little double bed." You know, I'm
no, gonna... no, that, I swear, I would think that's not gonna be funny anymore. That joint is just as funny as when I heard it 2 months ago.
You're gonna sleep in a twin, what is it, a twin bed, Mr. O? What's your
full size, full size,
full
size,
full size bed?
Yeah,
I'm gonna take a California king, and it's gonna be what it is.
The funny part, you said you had her help you get the. Oh, that's hilarious.
Whereas now this guy would probably sleep in a baby crib if his wife, you know, wanted to sleep in the California king. He wouldn't even take the California king today.
Nah.
You know what I'm saying?
Sofa.
You know, Rodney, I think we men, we kind of have to be threatened before we recognize, well, not all of us, but a lot of us have to, you know, we have to be threatened with losing something to really recognize how important it is to learn how to be a husband. Well, I don't know about everybody, but I haven't met a lot of guys that were trained on how to be a husband. We just figured I'm the man and that's the way it's going to be.
Yep. Yeah.
You know? And we either have to make some bad choices, which end up in either bad relationships or divorces, and then we have to come to a point where we realize, I don't have it all and I need to reach out. I applaud every man and woman that tries to figure this out before they go in to a marriage, but most of us don't, you know. We get our nose all wide, and it doesn't matter what, we're going to get married.
Mm-hmm. But the people that try to figure it out before they get married, man, they barking up the wrong tree there, because experience, I'm going to tell you, the hardest thing that I've ever experienced in my entire life was being a man in a packaged marriage, meaning she got kids and I got kids, and we had to deal with outside people inside of your house. And then on top of that, trying to learn each other and getting to know each other better. And then on top of that, dealing with, you know, biological parents, and then attitudes from the children, and then, you know, being ridiculed. I don't know if anybody noticed, but moms, if they got custody of their kids, they don't have to go into a school and show proof of custody. Fathers, however, I have to show proof of custody everywhere we go. If I'm getting my son or my daughter on the basketball team, cheerleading team, to the doctors, to school, I think it's this is the hardest. And I think being married a second time, the devil wants to make sure you have the absolute worst or best chance to get divorced again, because, you know, it's just so much going on that you can't even concentrate on your new bride. You got all these distractions in the way, and he just want to make sure they keep coming. You know, get CPS involved. It keep coming. Let's throw some financial situations from her past and your past. Keeps coming that y'all didn't know about. Money situation. Let's throw some ex-boyfriends and ex-girlfriends on top of the pile. Let's get some Facebook stuff going. I mean, it's always drama in the second go-around. And some people say, you know, they listen to these songs and cliches and say it can't be better the second time around and all that stuff. Dude, it is the absolute worst, and that word commitment got to be your second word behind standing on God. God first, commitment is second, you know, because it's just so hard trying to with all these shots coming at you.
Well, I disagree with the first part of what you said about trying to make, you know, working to make it right before you get married. You remember saying that one?
Yeah, I mean, trying to go to counseling, premarital counseling before you
right.
get married, and trying to have some expert, supposedly, quote unquote, to try to show you how to deal or tell you how to deal with the problems that you're about to face.
Yeah, I disagree. I think counseling, in my opinion, it helped me in my second marriage tremendously.
Yeah, I would go along with it. Most people that go into marriage, at least I was not taught how to have a good marriage.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I just wasn't. You know, and I live in the state of Maryland, and it's harder to get a driver's license than it is to get a marriage license in the state of Maryland. Okay, you know, in order to get a driver's license, the first thing you do is you got to get a book to read the rules of the road before you can even get a permit. Then you got to pass the test and saying you know what they are. Then you can start learning behind the wheel, and that takes 6 months. And then you got to pass the test and put so many hours and all this and all that. What does it take to get a marriage license? You know, two idiots, $30 in the courthouse. And you can have some kids and really screw them up. And most of us, at least most people I've seen, have never had any training on how to have a successful marriage.
Okay,
and, I mean,
let me ask you a question. You say that counseling is, and I understand your position because you're a counselor, but understand this. You, like you said, two idiots. Let's stop right there. You got two idiots in front of you, and both of them is trying to listen to your advice on how to have a successful marriage. You telling them all the rules of the road, but the woman is not going to be the same woman that you're appearing to look at when you're counseling her. She's not going to act that way when she gets pissed off. He either. You know, he's not going to do the same thing either. So when you leave, when they leave that office, unfortunately, they're going to do it their way when they get to the house. So
like me and my wife went through counseling, and so we actually, because the preacher would not marry us unless we went through counseling for a year. So we had a chance to talk about a bunch of those scenarios and talk about those tough situations that we otherwise never would have talked about trying to plan a wedding.
Okay.
You see
what
I'm saying?
That's exactly right. Most people don't have any clue on how to deal with real life before they get married, unless, you know, give you an example. Most of us don't know how to fight fair in a marriage. We don't know how to have arguments with our wives and our husbands, okay? And we do things in the midst of the argument that cause damage to the marriage. But if somebody can point out to you how to do that, how to have disagreements, without hurting the marriage, then you're at least aware of the things that do it.
Do you think that's on a crazy woman's mind when she in the heat of an argument and she just found out that your ex-wife is, or your ex-girlfriend is contacting you and you done told her how to have a positive argument? If you get a fired up woman started, all that counseling stuff that she had last year, 2 years ago.
Look, I see the point you make. Let me just tell you about counseling. After I got done counseling with my current wife, I left that counseling track, that 1 year deal, more in love with my wife and more committed to my wife than before when I went in.
That's applauded, Ike, because you know what? You said something that I ain't never heard before. A pastor actually taking the time to counsel a couple for a year. I ain't never heard that before.
That's a long time.
That's a long time to be. Radical. I mean, you still smashing on your way through the year. And you don't supposed to be.
Like, we got to
the
age
when
we asked the pastor to do our wedding. He said, I won't do it unless you go through counseling. When's the wedding? We said a year from now. He said, all right, well, let's start looking at the calendar.
Oh, so he
why didn't you pick somebody else? Curious.
Why didn't I what?
Pick somebody else. Get another married, you know, Reverend Deacon Dr. Doug. Get somebody else.
Wait a minute, he said he had a year before so he only did it for that year because y'all had a year before the wedding.
Right.
Did he ever tell you at one time and point to, hey, you got to stop having sex right now because y'all not married yet?
No.
Okay, so he said fornication is okay, but I'm going to be your, come on now, was he all the way in or what? You know what I mean? You got to, if you're going to take all of the advice, you got to take all the advice, and he can't be shortcuts.
Well, he didn't say anything. He didn't address the whole sex before marriage issue.
Okay, well, why is that?
I don't know.
And you didn't question him either because he was down for the get down, right?
But if he would have tried to bring that up, then it would have been duly noted, and I would have said, okay, thank you for your observation. But I'm going to still keep tapping this.
So to answer my man's question, the reason why you didn't pick another pastor because he didn't bring it up. But
he didn't bring
it
up.
You might have fired him and went with somebody else.
Well, now he would. You know what pastor is going to sit up there and say I can't marry y'all because y'all had sex before y'all married? What pastor going to do that?
He didn't marry you, but he didn't offer you no advice on y'all sexcapades.
But what pastor signed off on a marriage if he already know they having sex before they got married?
Because he's supposed to tell you the whole truth. He don't supposed to water it down. If
well, all the pastors out here marrying all these couples, then he's telling half truths then.
Well, I'm just saying, spiritual counseling is spiritual counseling, and regular counseling is regular counseling. So
I believe pastors now. Let's talk about the pastors.
Okay, let's talk about the pastors. When they talk to
you. Sit up there marrying a couple. They done already had three kids at wedding. And so he's saying fornication is okay.
Man, that was immaculate conception, man. Come on.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
If he marries a couple that had three kids before they got married, and he said fornication is okay by your rules now.
I disagree with you, and I agree with you a lot.
But you know what I'm saying?
I'll tell you what. We work with couples sometimes, and we got a couple right now that they decided that they're not going to sleep together because the Holy Spirit's working in their heart. And it's not the pastor that's going to tell them that. That's the Holy Spirit. If they're Christians and the Holy Spirit's working in their heart, that's going to change them, not the pastor saying, you shouldn't do this and you shouldn't do that.
Oh, but isn't it the pastor's or the counselor's responsibility to say, look, okay, I'm a spiritual counselor, I'm a spiritual leader, or you know, I'm going to guide you to a spiritual marriage. Isn't the first responsibility of that spiritual counselor is to tell those people the first thing you need to stop doing is stop fornicating and getting to know each other better.
And isn't it that pastor's job not to marry that couple that had that baby before they got married?
No, the rules don't say that you have to be a virgin.
Right, it don't say that.
It doesn't say that you have to be a virgin for these rules to apply. You can have 10 kids. If y'all getting ready to get married, no premarital sex.
All I'm saying.
Okay, so why does the pastor marry the couple that's done had the kids before they got married?
Well, nobody's got an answer for that.
I'm just saying.
He just said, why wasn't it said to you?
I don't know what the pastor said to you.
I hear you.
I mean, the pastor's more worried about us having a healthy marriage. I mean,
but y'all ain't married yet. It's like, okay, you, how can you get to a healthy marriage if you don't have a, if you have an unhealthy engagement by having premarital sex? I mean,
well, and, no, our engagement wasn't unhealthy. It was very healthy.
Well, I'm talking about as far as God is concerned, it was not permitted.
Yeah,
it was okay. Well, we,
it was okay.
I guess it's just what you're getting at. We just went against God because we had sex, right?
Hey, you tell me. You had a spiritual counselor telling you.
Yeah, a pastor that married us.
You know what, man? You know what? It's, I think of it like this. Yeah, you can just boil it down to, okay, well, I decided to do my thing. But that's pretty much the storyline of every person who says, all right, I want to walk this Christian walk. But at some point, you're going to look at choice A, and you're going to look at choice B, and you'll say, well, look, I want to do my thing. And you just live with the consequences of it.
Okay, so I accept the consequences of having sex before I was married.
Right. There's a definite different type of relationship you would have.
That's
if
right.
You, let's say, waited 6 months, or let's say, let's go really Mitchell and Ness retro. Let's just say you waited and just stayed virgin. You just stay virgin until you marry. You pull the AC Green. There's a different level of experience, of marital experience, that I would dare say 95% of at least people in this country get married don't have.
So since we got some Bible thumpers on here. Who on here did not have sex until they got married?
I beg to differ. I did not hear anybody thump the Bible.
Who on here waited until they got married to have sex for the first time?
I wish I did.
But
not that it was bad. I just wish I had experienced that, man.
Gotcha. Yeah.
What I'm saying, that would be a nice experience.
Go ahead.
What I'm saying is, if a spiritual counselor is going to be giving you spiritual advice on a godly marriage or any type of marriage before they marry you, the first thing that needs to, I'm not saying that they don't, I mean, they need to practice what they preach. They preaching it. It still needs to be preached. You know what I'm saying? It still needs to be said. It still needs to be.
Hey, right. I understand what you're saying. It needs to be brought across that, hey, you know, you all shouldn't be having sex before you get married.
Right, and that's what I'm saying. That's all I'm saying.
I know exactly what you're saying. I'm with you.
And I'm going to give you a perfect example.
You're saying that because he didn't say it, he was saying it's okay.
He was scared of the issue, maybe. Right.
And that's why I said, well, how come it's okay for pastors to marry couples who had babies before they got married? Because isn't that the same thing as saying it's okay also?
No.
Right?
Because
it don't
what you did up until that point don't matter.
Right.
Now, Ike. Now, here's a perfect example. When we started off this conversation, we were talking about the lack of or the amount of sex that married couples have, right? And we talk about how the man has to transform into a man that would have readily available sex to not so much readily available sex because now he's married, okay? And what we have to gauge from, most of us, is what we were having, the sex that we were having through our courtship stage. So we were being shown 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 times a week. So that's what we were thinking, right? So let's just go back to what my brother just said and said he never had sex. Let's just say if you never had sex prior to getting married, you would have less arguments once you get married because now you've got no 3, 4, 5 times a week to compare it to.
Right.
That's deep.
Yep.
You see what I'm saying? So it's like, oh, okay, well, you know, it is what it is. I take what I get because there was no promises made. She didn't say, well, once we get married, we're going to have it every night because she don't know.
You know what else goes away? You can't hold out on me. How are you going to use that weapon? You can't.
That's true. That's absolutely true.
Yeah.
Like I'm holding out.
We waited till marriage. We holding out for?
Hold out. What's 3 days? I waited 26 years. What's 3 days? Please.
What's 3 days?
I'm going to the store.
Yeah.
Wow. Confusion.
premarital sex is confusion. No doubt. I got one last question.
Yes, sir.
I was talking to my neighbor the other day, and he talked about a guy that was young guy, 49, that passed away. And he had, I don't know, 250-some-odd people at his home-going celebration. We'll call it that. Some people may call it a funeral. And the question that I want to show, ask right now, are we, by the way we're living our life, planning our invitation list for our funeral?
That's heavy.
Planning our invitation list?
Well, see, let me break it down.
Yeah.
When you die, right, when you leave this earth, people come to your funeral because of the person that you were when you were here.
Yep.
They come pay their respects.
Uh-huh.
So, in a sense, your life is an invitation list of who's going to come and make sure you don't pay their last respects.
That's true.
You see what I'm saying? You can't invite nobody. You
mm-hmm.
can't say, okay, well, I want you to come to my funeral. I want you to come. And again, some people may not care because they're leaving here. But some people leave here and say, okay, I want to be remembered for the things that I've done, the kind of father I was, the kind of husband I was, the kind of community service person I was, the kind of person that just people loved.
And, Mr. Host, you can invite them all you want. But the reality is when you die and they don't show up, what are you going to do? You in the box.
You in the box. You in the box. That's it. You know, so are we planning our escape? Because I guess that's what it is.
Well, I think that what you're alluding to is the fact that, and y'all have probably heard this adage many times before, but people will forget what you did, people will forget what you said, but they will never forget how you made them feel. So when it comes to, you know, oh, such and such died, they're not going to remember anything but how you made them feel. And if you didn't make them feel good, they ain't coming to your funeral.
Coming.
They're going to be like, hey, I'm going to wash my car. You know, I got to, you know, I'm going to the beach. You know, it's not going to be a priority. Because the reality is that, again, just like I said, I mean, when you in the box, it's nobody, I mean, it's no arguments that such and such didn't come to your funeral. I mean, they don't have to show up.
I guess
you ain't going to know if they showed up or not.
I guess he's saying that what kind of impression are you making amongst this world, or what kind of stamp you're making?
Yeah.
Are you, you know, living the correct life where people will appreciate you and remember you by the things that you did and what kind of impact you had on this world.
Exactly. And I think the host is holding back because, tying it back to something he said maybe just a few weeks ago about how his transformation started at his uncle's funeral. Is that correct, Mr. Host?
100%.
So that was the start of his transformation.
Mm-hmm.
And the fact of the matter is that he said, and just, you know, forgive me if I, you know, leave anything out, Mr. Host, but he said that, you know, his uncle was, you know, Rolling Stone, was doing his thing. But at the funeral, they were talking about how this guy was a great community leader and all this stuff. And, you know, T.O. said,
nobody saw the truth of the funeral, man. Nobody.
But was it true, T-Hawk? Were they embellishing, or was that the truth? Did your uncle transform before he left out in the box?
He did definitely transform. He definitely transformed. But, yeah, people do lie at the funeral. People be lying on TV. Oh, he was a great person. I don't know why they shot him. You know what I mean? They be lying like,
but
I don't know. He wasn't
line,
a great person. He was a drug dealer. You know
right.
what I'm saying? But
the bottom line,
want
to be this like person. You said, is that he transformed.
He transformed. Yeah.
Period.
You ain't going to be that person that tells the whole truth, man. You know, we probably hear about 30 years too early, but, you know, that's the kind of life he lived, man. So we all here 30 years early because of this fool with his addiction to guns.
Yeah.
Nobody's going to tell the truth, man, like that. You're not going to be that person.
Yeah. But this situation, I mean, you kind of know when it's some BS. Yeah, but no, it was definitely 100% transformation because it touched me in a way that I was like, whoa.
You know, because of his transformation,
you were transformed.
Yeah, you know, and we all see it. You see those funeral lines, man, it's 10 minutes long, and there's some where you got to pull over because you're going to be there a while. And then you ask yourself, what kind of life did that person lead?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
With all these people coming up and taking time out their day to show their respect.
Oh, man, yeah, because I seen a cop car and a funeral, a hearse, and about 4 or 5 cars. And I was like, dang, I wouldn't. They must
I don't
want to
be that guy. I don't want to be that guy.
You know what, though, man? That only tells part of the story because much like weddings and funerals can become a showpiece of I need to be seen so I'm not on the outs. You know, people do those kind of, especially if it's somebody that's passed away corporately. So you can tell but so much. Yeah, we'd all like to have the attendance. It's one of those weird ones of life. I call it the weirdest one because, yeah, you like to see who's there, but that's something you're not going to really view unless something's different on the other side of the grave where you can sit in the audience and see how many people came. That's just, you're not going to do it.
But
you know?
You can tell if that person was important or not, even if you don't know them. I done pulled over one time because everybody was coming by following the hearse, and I done pulled over for a long time because it was like maybe 50, 60 cars in that line. And then one time I had pulled over, thought I was going to pull over, but I didn't even get to a complete stop before the line was over. And my mind was like, dang, what? That person didn't have no kind of, that was my thought. I was like, is it Thursday? Is everybody at work? You know, you try to make an excuse for that person's life. Like,
yeah.
Why is nobody at his funeral?
Yeah.
But you know what?
Maybe he's from out of town.
I'm going to throw my own monkey wrench. Clink to clink. It could be importance, but importance and popularity are two different things.
And that's what we're talking about, though. I mean, if
when you say somebody was important because they had 200 people show up, important to who? Important in what way?
And who that person impacted. If you ain't impacted a lot of people, you know, I don't know. If you impact a lot of people, ain't no 3 people going to show up to your funeral.
No. They come, they take it off work.
Yeah, they taking off work for that.
They get on a plane. They getting on a plane. They coming.
Mm-hmm.
There's no way around that. They'd be like, this is the last time I'm going to see you, I'm coming.
Yeah.
Last time I get a chance to see your family or whatever it is, I'm coming. That's the ultimate respect right there. When you say, no, I'm going to stop what I got to do, I got to go.
Mm-hmm.
You already crushed the person is gone, but you're going to go and, you know.
I'm going to disagree with you.
Okay.
I want to think that is the last selfish act for someone. I understand it's. You want to see, it's a human longing for somebody you may have seen some or little or a lot. But really, I think what it is that it's the living person's way of finalizing for their own satisfaction. Because you're really not helping the deceased feel any better. You can say you're helping the family feel like the person was loved, but that's where that phrase, give me my flowers while I'm living, sprouted from.
But you got to ask yourself, with the funerals that you went to and the ones that you didn't go to, what was the difference?
That person made a difference in your life.
Exactly. And the ones you didn't go to, evidently they didn't.
Let me give you an example. Tomorrow, a precious, precious woman in my life, she died and she's being buried tomorrow, okay, a funeral tomorrow, okay. I cannot be there. I've got to fly out of town. It's one of those, I'm not going to be able to be there, although everything in me would want to be there. But I can't be there. So I actually asked my wife to go in my place.
Mm.
Okay, as an honor to this woman. I know she's not going to know, but her family and friends, this woman was so important to me that, you know, that it really bothered me that I can't be there. Okay, because she made such an impression on my life.
But you're sending somebody in your place.
Correct.
Right. So that's just as important. I mean, that's an attendance. You are attending because your better half is going, or your other
correct.
Half is.
But if this person wasn't that important in my life, I wouldn't, you know.
That's right.
I mean, literally, my wife's taking off work half a day to go and to be there for us,
yeah.
for me, because I really have the relationship.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so
I think it says a lot. And I'll tell you what, and this really, to somebody's point, I think it was Tony's point, I grew up with, back in the day, and they may still do it today, I don't see it as much. Back in the day, close family friends, you called them aunt and uncle, even though they were not your aunt and your uncle,
mm-hmm.
okay? At least where I grew up. And we had a family friend 3 years ago pass away, and we used to call her aunt, although she wasn't. And I went down to her funeral, and no joke, there weren't even 12 people there.
Mm-hmm.
And I looked around, and it really broke my heart, you know, and I went, wow, look at this. You know what I mean? I mean, to live your whole life, and this woman was, you know, in her mid-70s, to live your whole life, and there aren't even enough people to carry the casket. And that's, you know, and it hit me like T-Hawk said. I mean, and she was a nice person, but she just didn't make a difference in people's lives.
Wow, that's deep.
It really, you know, and her husband passed away this year, okay? And, I mean, they didn't even hardly have a funeral.
Wow.
And I thought, you know, and I thought, and I went, wow. That is so, so sad to live 70-some years, you know, and to have 11 people at your funeral. And three of which was my mother, my father, and me. And I flew from Maryland to Florida for the funeral. You know, and you just, you question, and you go, you know, well, what, you know, I mean, what did you do with your life if you didn't try to help other people?
Yeah.
And that's what I really think it comes down to. If you don't step out and put yourself out for other people, you know, it really, and you know, you don't get to see it a lot in your life when it happens, you know, and I'll tell you what, I had the awesome pleasure of seeing that happen for me. Last year was my 50th birthday, and my wife orchestrated a surprise party for me and had half the cruise ship Danny there for me, and I was blown away. I couldn't believe it. You know, and when you see it when you're alive, it really, you may not think that you're touching other people, but for people to take their time out of their life to go do something for you, you have to touch people's lives.
Yep. Yep.
Good words.
Good words, man. And I think it's important. And I think, you know, I know we don't think about it. I think about it, but I know, you know, a lot of times it's not that important. And it just came up when preparing for this call. And I was talking to, you know, my neighbor about, you know, the guy that died. I didn't know him, but, you know, he was telling me about how many people showed up. And I was like, job well done. Because you just think that they don't have to pay their respects to you. And just like Andrew said, when you get to see it when you're still alive, and it's genuine. Because I went, and those tickets weren't cheap. I ain't gonna lie. But we went. Andrew's birthday, that's my man, and we wanted to celebrate it with him. It wasn't like, you know, and I could have done something else, but I was like, nah, I'm going to this. You know, so it's the same thing. So that's why I asked the question, are we writing our list for our funeral now that we're still alive? And it may be a morbid question, but I think as head of households and people that we all have a mission. You know, and I know we didn't talk about God a lot tonight, but God has given us a plan. He's given us orders. He's given us, you know, instructions on how to do this thing. And if we
I guess if we do it by his rule, then we won't be disappointed when we go meet him. Because there may be a conversation. Yo, dude, you only have 7 people at your... How you going to answer that if God is the one answering that question? You only got 6 people at your funeral. What happened?
You know, I think, Tony, people like that experience that, you know, have lived lives of thinking of themselves. Because if people aren't willing, I mean, for your last act to say, I'm going to honor you, I'm going to pay my respects. I mean, that's what it used to be called, paying your respects.
Still is.
Yeah. I mean, if you haven't stepped out and put yourself out for other people, why would they put themselves out for you? I mean, we need to examine ourselves. Like you said, are you living a life that's writing the guest list to your funeral is a great question. The real question behind that is, are we living a life to serve others, or are we just focusing on us? Are we setting an example and teaching others that it's not just about me and I'm willing to put out for you? I think that's a great question.
It's a good maintenance question.
Good maintenance. And I think Rodney also summed it up great too, because it's the way you touch someone. And it doesn't even have to be doing something for somebody. It doesn't even have to be that. It could be just when they were there and they needed to talk, you listen every time. You know what I mean? You may not give them money, you may never fed the person. It's just when they're at that lowest point, they pick up the phone and they can call you. People can depend on you. You know, we think you got to do this extravagant thing. Sometimes it's real small things. And people be like, man, you know, that guy was always all right. You know, whenever I saw that guy, you know, he always had a smile on his face. Man, I'm going to his funeral. You just never know.
He might have a smile on his face at the funeral.
On that note, we will go into open mic. All right, anybody got anything else on transformation?
No.
Next week's topic?
The true pressures of a married man.
Oh, yeah. Woo-wee. You outdid yourself with that one, B-Town.
Yep.
Okay, hold on.